Let's pray. Father, in your love and in your pity, you sent your Son to die for sinners like us. We do thank you for that love, for that pity upon us. We ask, Lord, this day that many would come to know that love and pity, that grace that is found in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God that has been preached. We thank you for the Gospel that has been preached. And we pray that it would stir our hearts as believers to be reminded of your love and your pity, and to have our hearts revived to service to you in the weeks ahead, and for love for one another, that it would deepen, and that the things of this world would fade away more and more, and that we would be careful in our walk, like Enoch, to walk with you, conscious of you day in and day out. We ask now for our brother, Pastor Harrison. We pray that you will bless him as he brings the word, that you would fill him with your Spirit, and that you would be pleased to shower your love and pity upon needy sinners this day. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My apology for not making mention of this book yesterday as I was asked, but the book entitled All Men of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer is a book that is highly recommended. I referred to this during my preparations. Herbert Lockyer is a very simple writer, and the beauty of his writings is that it's not only of great value to the preacher, but it's very, very accessible to even the average reader. And he does a very fine job in this book covering the various, in fact, as the title suggests, all the men of the Bible, literally all the men of the Bible are covered in this book. And it's a book worth having. It's a book worth having on your shelf. And if you're more ambitious, then you might want to get the entire All series that he has. But this morning in particular, this is the book, one of the books that you want to have in your library. It's in my library. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, quiet our hearts in this moment and help us that as we listen to the preaching of the Word of God, we pray firstly that it would indeed be representative of your Word and that in hearing it, we would be in a position, we would be disposed to bring our lives into conformity with what you will reveal to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 17 verses 25 through 27 and then chapter 19 verses 31 through 40. Second Samuel 17 verses 25 through 27, then chapter 19 verses 31 through 40. In fact, we read from verse 24 of 2 Samuel 17. 2 Samuel 17 beginning at verse 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. Absalom set Amasa over the army in place of Joab. Now Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Ithrah the Israelite, who went on in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. And Israel and Absalom camped in the land of Gilead. Now when David had come to Mahanaim, Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the sons of Ammon, Machir the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim, brought beds, basins, pottery, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, parched seeds, honey curds, sheep, and cheese of the herd for David and for the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Chapter 19. And we'll be reading from verse 31 to verse 40. Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim, and he went on to Jordan with the king to escort him over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. The king said to Barzillai, "You cross over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me." But Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I yet to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I distinguish between good and bad, or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink, or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant would merely cross over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with his reward? Please let your servant return that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king and do for him what is good in your sight." The king answered, Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight, and whatever you require of me, I will do for you." All the people crossed over the Jordan, and the king crossed too. The king then kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Kimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, accompanied the king. Unless you're a keen and frequent reader of the Old Testament, then it's not very likely that you will readily recognize the name Barzillai. Chances are this might be the only sermon you hear in your lifetime. Barzillai is rather scarce in terms of even his name being mentioned. Barring the scant references to his helping David, supporting David in his time of need, nothing is known of his prior history. But based on the information we have of him in Scripture, we can form a portrait of him. First of all, his name means son of iron, or man of iron. It's a name which, after this study, I'm sure many parents, grandparents would want to name their son or grandson. Second, he was from Gilead, and that is why he is referred to as Barzillai the Gileadite. We find that in chapter 17, verse 27, chapter 19, verse 31. Genesis 31, verse 25 tells us that Gilead was a hill country. These little bits of information, you'll see how later on they really help us to appreciate the whole account of Barzillai. It was a hill country. It was a region that was greatly coveted for its extensive farmlands. You remember back in Numbers 32, verse 1, the Reubenites, the Gadites, even before the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan, they came to Moses and they said, "We want this spot. Don't take us over the Jordan. We want this spot because we have a great deal of livestock and this land is suitable for us." So it was a very, very coveted coveted region. As suggested by Genesis 37, verse 25, Gilead was rich in such natural resources as aromatic gum and balm and myrrh. Joseph, you remember, when he was cast into the pit, his brothers saw a chariot coming with Ishmaelites from Gilead going to Egypt bearing these products. It was a land that was known for these products. In fact, you read through Scripture, and one of the recurrent identifying marks you'll find concerning Gilead, you hear Scripture making reference to the balm of Gilead. It was from this land that Barzillai came. Third, we gather from Scripture that he was well advanced in years. He was an octogenarian, as we learn in 2 Samuel 19, verses 32 and 35. He says, I'm 80 years old. Fourth, the fourth thing we learn about Barzillai is that he evidently was physically on the decline. By his own admission, as we find in verses 35 and 36, because when David invited him to come to Jerusalem with him, where he could spend the rest of his life, he would be taken care of, he says, can I distinguish between good and bad, suggesting there some kind of decline in his, you know, mental capabilities. He says, or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? His taste bud, it seemed, had changed drastically. He was really getting up in years. And he says, or can I hear anymore the voice of singing men and women? He says, I can't really appreciate the aesthetics, the beauties of palace life. He says, why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? And here's what he says. Your servant would merely cross over the Jordan. It suggests here that he was physically on the decline. He was really advanced in years, and his years were really taking a toll on him physically. Fifthly, we learn that he was a very wealthy man. We learn that from 2 Samuel 19, verse 32, which says that he was a very great man, an expression which implies that he was both rich and influential. You'll find in 1 Samuel 25, verse 2, this very expression was used in connection with Nabal, of whom it was said he was a very great man. Nabal was a very wealthy man, and so we gather here he was a very wealthy man. Based on what we know of the land of Gilead, as we said earlier, it was rich in natural resources. It was conducive to large-scale farming. We don't have to think too hard as to why Barzillai was such a wealthy man. The sixth thing we gather from Scripture is that he was evidently a man of tremendous influence. Why do we say that? Because if you look at Ezra chapter 2, verses 58 through 63, with the accompanying passage, Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 63. One of the things we learn there is that when the people came back from captivity, some of the priests were disqualified for service because their father had married into Barzillai's family, Barzillai the Gileadite, and the father took on the name Barzillai. Now, if a person doesn't have great weight and influence, he's not going to get that kind of honor. So evidently, Barzillai, not only was he a very wealthy man, he was a tremendously influential man. Our concern this morning is to look at Barzillai, particularly in his relationship with David. David at this time was going through one of the most difficult, trying times of his life. He was on the run, if you know the story. Absalom, his son, had schemed against him. He was planning a revolt against him. David was actually on the run in fear of his life. What a time of trouble this was for David. And what we remember as we look at his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, one of the things that comes to us most soberingly is that the child of God never, never gets away with sin. The child of God cannot toy with sin. Sin surely does pay its wages. The Word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. The Word of God says in Numbers 32, verse 23, and be sure your sins will find you. This is precisely what was happening to David at this point. God had promised him in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 10 that in consequence of his sin against Uriah in taking his wife, he says, the sword shall not depart from your house. That was precisely what was taking place in the life of David at this time. And so having been on the run, David finds it necessary to leave Jerusalem, and he settles, he takes refuge on the eastern side of the Jordan. And in taking up residence there, he and the people with him set up camp at Mahanaim. It was against this background of David's troubles, David's crisis, that this man Barzillai emerges in Scripture. And in our study this morning, we want to consider what may be described as his refreshing, heartwarming ministry to David during this time of trouble. If we do a close reading of 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 25 through 27, the other portion that was read, 2 Samuel 19:31 through 40, as well as 1 Kings 2, verses 1 through 9, there's a suggestion that there was a very, very deep friendship between Barzillai and David. From what time, we have no idea, but certainly a friendship that was deep enough to make him most prominent in the life of David, even above others who were in contact with David. What were the evidences of this deep friendship? Well, Herbert Locke, in this book, he says this, more is said about him than about the other people David met on his way back to Jerusalem. That is very true. As you read the account, we find secondly in his dying charge to his son Solomon, David singles out Barzillai's family as the ones who assisted him in his distress, and he specifically tells Solomon in 1 Kings 2 verse 7 that he's to show him kindness, show his sons kindness. And the third thing we discover that supports our suggestion that he had a deep friendship with David is this, that those Shobi and Maacah are listed with Barzillai as having assisted David, 2 Samuel 17 verse 27. Yet 2 Kings 19 and verse 32 singles out Barzillai in the following way. He had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim. Here it is significant to note that in the Hebrew, the pronoun he is it's emphatic. The personal pronoun is supplied, hence it is emphatic, underscoring the idea that he distinctively, particularly, and preeminently had supported the king. So from these observations, it is very clear, very, very strongly suggested that Barzillai and David had been longtime friends. But be that as it may, whether or not this was the case, this much we can affirm, and what we want to note is this, that in times of trouble, in times of distress, God has a way of sending people into our lives, sending friends into our lives to be a blessing to us, to help us. Indeed, he never leaves us comfortless. And the most comforting thing we find here is that even though David was under the chastising hand of God, even though the hand of God was heavy upon David, yet God graciously provided a friend, an ally in Barzillai. You see, that's part of the provision of his sustaining grace. One of the ways that God sustains us in our distresses, in our needs, in our crises, is through relationships, in particular through friends. And that is why we should never, through arrogance, through cynicism, disparage the whole matter of friendships. Some people have been disappointed by friends, and they reach the place in life where they say, well, I will have nothing to do with friends. Listen, never say never. There comes a time when we need people. And God works through people. God meets our needs through people, and he meets our needs through friends. Let me also say this, that there's nothing particularly spiritual, there's nothing particularly godly about being locked into a private relationship with God, having all the time great pressing needs while neglecting the means that God has given us for comfort. We'll find in Scripture that even the great Apostle Paul, great man of God as he was, godly man that he was, he understood that people were necessary. He understood that God uses people to bring comfort in our distresses. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4. He says, God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. In fact, listen to his own testimony in 2 Corinthians 7, 5, and 6. He says this, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within, but God who comforts the depressed comforted us by the coming of Titus." And so here we have it that through the ministry of Barzillai, God ministered to the needs of David in a time of extreme crisis. Now the question we want to ask this morning as we consider the ministry of Barzillai to David, we want to ask the question and we want to answer the question, what was the nature of this ministry to David? And I suggest two things. Firstly, Barzillai's ministry was a ministry of solidarity. It was a ministry of solidarity, and we are referring to here the fact that he lent to David a supportive, sympathizing presence. You see, Barzillai supported David in his adversity by standing in solidarity with him. He stood with David by making his presence felt in David's dark hour, by coming alongside him, by standing with him. That was the nature of Barzillai's ministry. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7, as David charged his son Solomon to take care of Barzillai's sons because of the kindness that they extended to him, here's what he says. He says to them, quote, "They assisted me when I fled from Absalom, your brother." Those of us who use the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, are a little bit disappointed, because when we look at the word that is actually used in the Hebrew, it is not really the word assisted. It is the Hebrew word kerev, which means to come near to approach. It is a word which, as the theological word book of the Old Testament tells us, denotes being or coming into the nearest and most intimate proximity of an object. That is why I believe the Authorized Version is more on target here, because Barzillai's ministry was literally a ministry of presence. It was a ministry of solidarity, whereby, to use the words of Herbert Lockyer, he rallied to Barzillai's side. What does this remind us of but the Lord Jesus, who, as he left this earth, he told his disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And interestingly, the word that's used of the Holy Spirit is the Greek word parakletos, which literally means one called alongside to help. Barzillai, in a real sense, it was an incarnation of the kind of ministry that the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit sustains to God's people. God comes alongside us with his presence, as it were, to comfort us, to sustain us in our need. We heard a great deal yesterday. What a tremendous message about the ministry, the idea of presence. Let me suggest to you that Barzillai, not only did he send presence to David, but he gave his very presence. There's much to be said about a ministry of presence. Sometimes people, in an effort to escape the pains and hurts of identifying with people in their crisis, would rather send their money rather than go to the place where they are to see and feel something of their sufferings. You remember the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Lord Jesus speaks of the fact that here were the religious leaders. They saw him. They passed by on the other side. But here was this Samaritan. He came along to the place where the wounded man was. That's the ministry of presence. That's a ministry of solidarity. What is extraordinary about Barzillai's ministry of solidarity with David is the tremendous sacrifice he expended in going to visit with David. Let me show you two respects in which it was a tremendous sacrifice. First of all, when we consider the distance he traveled. And we know the distance that he traveled based on where he lived and where David was staying. From Rogelim, his hometown, 2 Samuel 17, verse 27, to Mahanaim, where David was staying, was a distance, we're told, of roughly 25 miles. Think of that. To have journeyed all of 25 miles through hilly terrain covering vast distance of land. You see why? We mentioned the fact that Gilead was a hilly terrain. Travel through hilly terrain 25 miles without the speed and convenience of modern transport as we know it. There were no Lexus at that time. There were no, and you know the various cars. There were no trains at that time. And especially when we consider that he was a man really up in age. That was some distance for him to travel. Later on in 2 Samuel 19:31 and following, we see him coming alongside David to say goodbye to him, to escort him over the Jordan. Was this a second 25-mile trip from Rogelim to Mahanaim? Or was it a continuation of the same event recorded in 2 Samuel 17? We're not quite sure, but we know at least, based on what we'll find later on, is that because his support of David was consistent over a period of time, he must have made many trips back and forth. How remarkable then the sacrifice that this man expended, aged as he was, weak as he was, presumably was, traveling all of 25 miles through hilly terrains just to come with a ministry of presence, a ministry of solidarity for David. A.W. Pink writes, it is touching here to see him in his feebleness taking such a journey to conduct his beloved monarch across the Jordan. Alfred Edersheim notes that he, quote, came despite the weight of his years to escort the king over the Jordan. And indeed, notwithstanding his age, notwithstanding his feebleness, his intent, notice verse 36, on accompanying David over the Jordan, even for a short distance, as the NIV renders it. Truly, he was a man of iron, a man of grit, a man of determination, a man of character, iron-like character. We see the tremendous sacrifice of Barzillai, not only in terms of the distance he traveled, but in terms of the danger to which he was exposed. What danger was he exposed to? Well, remember what was happening here. David was on the run from Absalom. Think of what would have happened if Absalom had gained the ascendance. If Absalom had his way, then what would have happened? He would have retaliated against this man. Who knows if he were not discouraged by friends, families? Well, you know, take it easy. Just send your gifts. But no, Barzillai must go. He must make his presence felt. And we ask the question, what does it mean for you and me today to exercise a ministry of solidarity? And I would say this, it means to go outside of ourselves, it means to go outside of our comfort zones, it means to go outside of our sense of security, to enter into the pains, the hurts, the crises of those who are suffering. Romans 12 verse 15, it is to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep. It means, Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It means to share in the trouble or affliction of others, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 14. You notice there in Philippians 4:14, Paul commends the Philippian Christians. He says, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. A ministry of solidarity involves remembering, sympathizing with those who are in distressing circumstances. For you have showed sympathy to the prisoners. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. The writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:34. You find in Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Timothy 1, 16 through 18, Paul gratefully recollects, he recalls those who remembered him, those who refreshed him while he was imprisoned. Our Lord Jesus in his parable in Matthew 25, he speaks of those who will be exposed to the judgment of God, and part of the reason he says this, I was in prison and you visited me not. And properly speaking, a ministry of solidarity is a ministry that is open to every single Christian, because after all, that's what it means to be Christian. The Word of God says in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, it is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So number one, the nature of Barzillai's ministry is this. It was a ministry of solidarity. It was a ministry of sympathizing, supportive presence. But secondly, Barzillai's ministry to David was a ministry of generosity. It was a ministry of generosity. And the notable thing we find here about Barzillai is that even though he was a wealthy man, yet he was extremely generous. That bears noting why? Because there are many a person who is wealthy, many a person who is rotten rich, as we would say, and they are sometimes the harshest, most unkind person. It's not many who know how to handle wealth. There are many who are wealthy, and yet they are mean, they're stingy. Remember the story of Nabal. How he was very rough and coarse and raw toward David in his need. David had need. David send his men to ask help of him. And what happened? He insulted David and his men. We find that Barzillai, even though he had great possessions, he was not tight-fisted. He was a man with open heart and open hands. Let's look at the extent of his generosity. And there are five things that characterize Barzillai's generosity. And the first thing is that it was substantial. It was substantial. What he offered to David was no mere pittance. It was no paltry tokenism. Notice 2 Samuel 17:28-29. Although Barzillai and others are listed as having contributed to David, Barzillai based on what we'll find in 2 Samuel 19:32, evidently gave a significant amount of these things. Bible says they brought deads for David and for the people who were with him to eat. To have met the needs of David and his family and the people must have required a great deal of resource. Barzillai's gift, his generosity was substantial because notice the practical value of the items that were donated to David and the people with him. They fall under three categories. Number one, beds. That was for rest. That would have been a most needed commodity in that kind of setting. Utensils for cooking and eating. We find there basins, pottery. There were food items. And we can be sure that in those food items, the Word of God does tell us explicitly what they were. There was no soda and chips. Bible says they gave him wheat, barley, flour, parched grains, beans, lentils, parched seeds. So all we have there, the carbohydrates, the proteins. They gave him honey and curds, we are told. This made a nice, refreshing drink. You'll find in, for example, Song of Songs 4, verse 11. It's a delicacy. It was a nice beverage, we are told. They gave him sheep and cheese of the herd. These men on the move, they needed to be fed. It was a ministry of generosity marked by the fact that it was substantial. Secondly, Barzillai's ministry of generosity was born of sensitivity. It was kindness that was inspired and actuated by an understanding of the needs, the challenges which David and the people with him were facing. You and I will never be possessed of a spirit of generosity. We'll never be moved to be as kind as we should until we are informed. We have been informed, until we have seen, until our ears have been opened, until our eyes have been opened to the needs, the hurts, the sufferings of those around us. Notice verse 29 of 2 Samuel 17, how his generosity was born of sensitivity. For they, that is including Barzillai, said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. We need people today like Barzillai who have open ears and open hearts. People who can see needs and answer to those needs. But thirdly, his ministry of generosity, we know this, was spontaneous. In the sense that without being asked, without being coerced, without being compelled in any way, he freely gave of his resources. Barzillai was not asked to contribute, as far as we know, as Nabal was. He freely, spontaneously gave of what he had. William Blakey, commenting on the generosity of Barzillai, says this: he did not ask to see a subscription list or inquire to see what others were giving. He did not consider what was the smallest amount that he could give without appearing to be shabby. His only thought seems to have been what there was he had to give that could be of use to the king. There's no true giving, no true generosity without this element of spontaneity. For God loves a cheerful giver, the Word of God says. His ministry of generosity was substantial. It was born of sensitivity. It was spontaneous. Notice fourthly, it was sustained. Barzillai's kindness to David was not just on one or two occasions. In fact, there's a suggestion in 2 Samuel 19, verse 32, that he continued to send supplies to David while he was at Mahanaim. Bible says there, now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he, once again in the Hebrew, is emphatic, had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. He was a great man not just in wealth, but he was a great man in terms of his heart, in terms of his compassion. What this means, the fact that he sustained David over a period of time, suggests that he never did grow tired of doing what he was doing. He never did give just to salve his conscience and to say, that is it. He went the extra mile. He went the second mile. He went the third mile. He gave of himself. He gave of his resources constantly to David. How we are reminded in Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are of the household of the faith. Paul will tell the Thessalonian Christians in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Philippians 4 verse 16, he commends the Philippian Christians. He says, for even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. In fact, he says, no other church did that, but you Philippians. Then we find a fifth characteristic of Barzillai's ministry of generosity is that it was selfless. It was selfless. Barzillai gives us a picture of selfless, unreckoning generosity. His acts of kindness were marked by sheer disinterestedness. You'll notice in 2 Samuel 19:33 to 36, when David promised to take care of him, come with me and we'll take care of you. Barzillai's response toward the end of that section, he says, why should the king compensate me for this reward? What he's saying here is that this is nothing really. this is what I have to do. I do what I have to do. I'm not looking for any reward. It reminds us of what our Lord Jesus says. He says, after we have done the things that we should do, we should regard ourselves as unworthy servants. We have done God's will. And oh, that we need what we need. We need people of selfless generosity. People who will not do things for the limelight. People who will give. People who will serve for giving's sake, for serving's sake. As we wrap up this account, this study of this man, Barzillai, and you'll notice something that is worth mentioning about him. Do you notice how he involved his son in his ministry? His ministry of solidarity, his ministry of generosity. What a tremendous lesson to us as parents that we ought to co-opt our children in doing good. We ought to teach them what it is to be kind, what it is to be sympathetic with those who are hurting. You see, when we do that, we are actually building their character. We are actually bringing them to that place where we're going to cut off from their lives the ugliness of self-centeredness, selfishness. We're going to teach them the virtue of giving for the sake of giving, for it is more blessed to give than to receive, as the Lord Jesus tells us. What are the lessons we learn from this man very quickly? From this man, Barzillai, we see a powerful lesson on the ministry of giving. You know, one of the reasons God blesses us materially, the Word of God teaches, is that, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, we might have to give to those who are in need. Let us remember that when we have an abundance, when we have wealth, it is not for our consumption in total. God expects us to share. Paul, writing to Timothy, tells Timothy that he should warn those who are rich not to trust in uncertain riches. And among the things he says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, tell them to be ready to distribute, to share. The challenge is, are we like Barzillai, or are we merely self-seeking? Are we looking out for the needs of others, seeking to help, even when we are not asked? Second lesson we learn is that through David's gesture of appreciation to Barzillai, we are reminded that God knows, remembers, and rewards our generosity. Out of gratitude for the help he received, David offers to take Barzillai and, as it were, give him social security for the rest of his life, to make life comfortable for him. What is happening here? We learn a lesson from David himself that we must never presume upon the kindness of others. Barzillai was very kind to David. David did not see it as a case. Well, here was a wealthy man. He couldn't but help me who was in need. We must never presume on the generosity of others. But what we are saying here is that through David's remembrance of Barzillai's kindness, we get a lesson that God does remember our acts of kindness and that God rewards us accordingly. One of the ways he does that is to use people to bless us. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. They will press into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you again. David's dying word to Barzillai, remember his son Solomon, remember Barzillai's son, because they were kind to me. And then what does Barzillai say to senior citizens? What does he say to people who are advanced in age? He says to those who are advanced in age that old age is no deterrent to usefulness in the service of God. Though he was an aged man, he did not consider himself too old to minister to David's needs. He did not regard old age as a deterrent to being a blessing to others. Word of God says they shall still bear fruit in old age. Barzillai knew nothing of retirement when it came to the service of God when it came to meeting needs. And the lesson clearly here is this, that we should serve faithfully as we can, in whatever way we can, as long as God provides strength. We might not be able to move mountains, but we can at least, perhaps, lift the burden of need. You know, we think of this man, Barzillai, we think of his great act of mercy, his ministry to David in David's crisis. But that is but a faint reflection of one who came to us in our poverty, in our misery, in our need. One who came alongside us. One who, out of the abundance of the wealth of his grace, the word of God says he lavished his grace and kindness upon us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were in the misery of our poverty, he came alongside us, the place where we were. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. We have a greater friend than Barzillai was to David. We have the friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. The friend that sticks closer than a brother. What kind of ministry would we undertake in this world of need? We need a ministry of solidarity. Pure religion is this. It is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. But we also need, beyond a ministry of solidarity, we need a ministry of generosity, where we actually go into our pockets, get into our resources, and up comes help in practical terms for those who are in need. We need a generosity that is substantial. You say, but I don't have great wealth. Listen, from God's standpoint, even if we give of the little we have, as long as it is the best we have, God regards it as substantial. Remember the widow's mite? May God bless these words to our hearts for his name's sake.
Thank you, Pastor Harrison, in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for the great kindness and generosity you poured out upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the grace that you showed to David through a man like Barzillai. And help us, as your people, to seek to show hospitality. May that be a true characteristic of us as your people. We thank you for your truth this morning. We praise your name for revealing yourself to us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.